Welcome to the Noontime Public Affairs here at KAFM Radio, 88.1 FM, Grand Junction, Colorado. My name is Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
And we are your computer help dudes every month on the third Wednesday of the month from noon to one on the Public Affairs Show.
Yeah.
And you can give us a call at 241-8801 extension 1. That's 241. I said that right, yeah, 241-8801, extension 1, or we are high-tech,
yeah.
At least we try to be,
yep.
So you can Twitter questions to us, and we get a few every
or
month.
Comments. Yeah, I like comments as much as I like questions.
Absolutely, absolutely. Comments, suggestions, hairstyle suggestions for Adam. I don't have much left.
Style tips.
241-88, or I'm sorry, the Twitter is Help Me Rick. Or Talking Digital. So you can Twitter us at Help Me Rick or at Talking Digital, and we can get your question or comment read. Adam's getting some Twitters as we speak on his tweet deck. I can hear it.
Sounds like, yep. I'm trying to turn it off there.
And if you don't know what Twitter is and you're wondering, is it even worth finding out about it, call us up. Or, yeah, you have to call us up, because if you don't know about Twitter, you can't Twitter us. So if you're wondering, should you be Twittering, you can call us, 241-8801, extension 1, and we'll guide you into the world of social networking that seems to be changing all the time.
It always is. You know what? I've decided there's no such thing as social media. I've decided it's just media. It's just the next phase of things.
That's a good point.
I don't like the word new media. I don't like the word social media.
Didn't the old media make up the word new media?
I think so. I think it's a group of people that, I don't know, I just think it's the next phase in things.
Mm-hmm.
It's adding a social aspect to regular media, just like new media is just the old media moving into the internet.
And if you think about media, the whole purpose of media is to reach the masses.
Right.
That's what newspapers are developed for. That's what stone tablets were developed for.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now. Media just continues to evolve as people move around to different areas of the internet and
right.
other parts of the world.
I think the people who are I think one problem we have today with social media is from those who think that social media is only people who are writing on Twitter about what they're eating for lunch.
Right. All the misconceptions come out right away.
All the stuff that happens when, you know, I get 75% of my news now from reading the Twitter feed. So,
mm-hmm. And it's a very efficient way to do it.
Yeah.
Once you learn how to properly kind of navigate the world, it really is a very efficient way of getting your information. So it's a very, very good point. And this week, it was just about 10 days ago, maybe a little less than 10 days ago, Google entered into the
yes.
world of social media. Now, they've been into that foray before. They had
Okrut.
It's not fried okra, but it always reminded me of fried okra.
I think that's how you spell it.
But
right.
it's Okrut. But now that went under. I don't think they haven't done that for about six or eight months.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
Maybe. I think it's still there. We have to go into Google Labs and find out.
Their new thing is now Google Buzz.
Right.
And it's sort of a Twittery kind of a type of thing, don't you think, Adam? How would you best describe it?
I think it is. It is Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Twitter-like, but it's very hard to see a stream of stuff. More you watch conversations, so it's kind of like Facebook in that you post something and people comment on it.
Right.
But it's also like Twitter in that it doesn't require that you have a two-way permission in order to follow
somebody. That's what I don't like about it. If you're a Gmail user, which I love Gmail, folks
right.
know that I'm a Gmail fiend, you're automatically signed up for it unless you opt out, and then people can automatically follow you without you saying, yeah, I want that person to follow me. And I guess in Twitter, in a way,
that's what Twitter is.
They can do Twitter too, but
yeah.
for some reason, I guess with Gmail, it's more personal.
People think their Gmail is personal, and really, unless they've changed it, and I hope they have, I haven't read recently, but as long as they've changed it, it's fine. But originally, the default was that you share your email address book with everybody else who follows you on Buzz. That's not good. No, it's not. And so I think that's really where it started the problem. But now there's an option, real easy option, to go in and just say, hide the email addresses of my followers. But the other problem is you have to go into a weird place to do it. You have to set up a profile in Google Profiles, which most people don't even realize they can have.
And mm-hmm.
I think it's way too instead of being one service,
they made it too automatic.
Yeah, it's too automatic and it's too spread across all of Google's services. And people have a hard enough time. I mean, I taught a 1 hour or 2 hour class that I never got all the way through off when I taught all of the services that Google offers. I never did a very good job. And that was a 2 hour class.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I just don't see that that's, it's too difficult for people to really conceive how it all works.
Well, and I think it's a little pretentious for them to come out with a service that's potentially that personal and just kind of thrust it upon you without any option. It just says, hey, you're there. And which reminds me, Adam, that's probably a very good video tip I need to put up at helpmerick.com.
How to turn off Buzz.
For Gmail, because I've turned a lot of people onto Gmail,
and
I don't want them to be turned off because of Buzz.
Right.
So I think that might be my next tip.
Go for it. I think that's a good one.
Or at least show them how to navigate it so that they can mold it if they want to continue to use it. Like you mentioned, mold it so that it's useful to them.
Exactly.
But in the long run, I think it's another experiment by Google. And we'll see if it succeeds or it doesn't succeed. There is another experiment, Adam. I don't know if you've read about it last week, that I think it's in like 10 cities, and it's in a select part of these 10 cities.
Uh-huh.
Google's going to be offering like some mega, mega fast internet speeds.
1 gigabit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be on the order of 20 times faster than anything that's currently available to residential or even business customers.
Essentially, I mean, just to talk about the raw numbers, the fastest we get here in Grand Junction is 8.
Okay. 8 miles an hour. Just think 8 miles an hour.
Just the number 8, yeah. They're moving at 8. The new Google internet service is moving at 1,000.
Yeah.
So it's leaps and bounds faster. And I think it's interesting the way Google is selecting.
It's measured in light
cities.
Years per second.
Yeah. Unless Google has changed something in the last week or so, which I don't think they have. They're actually having cities write in and write Google and say why their city should be selected.
Interesting. I didn't read
but
that.
But I haven't heard whether they've chosen any.
Looks like we got a call, so we're going to try this.
Hi, you're on KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. We're talking about technology and computer stuff. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have an old Windows 98 PC. You guys probably go back to that era?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still have a couple of clients that have Windows 98.
Okay. Well, this machine is, it's got Firefox on it and Internet Explorer, but an old edition. But all that aside, just out of the blue, it has been asking me to restart. It gives me various messages. It even gives me a beep code. I'm sure you're familiar with the beep code.
Yeah, it must be a Dell. Is it a Dell?
No, actually, it is an IBM.
Oh, okay. The beep code you're referring to is, he's referring to is in the BIOS. BIOS is what controls your motherboard and all the hardware. And sometimes if there's problems, you'll have a Morse code kind of thing coming from your computer.
Exactly, yes. As a matter of fact, it's 131.
And I have no idea what that means. You know what it means? If I was to tell you in layman's language what it means to me, is it means go buy a new computer.
Oh, really?
That I think that's the translation. Is that what you have?
I think so. I mean, the 131 certainly means something. If you go into Google and type in BIOS codes and you know what BIOS you have, whether it's AMI, is it AMI, Phoenix? Is it AMI? I forget what.
Yeah,
it is. Anyway, there's several different BIOS companies. If you know who makes your BIOS, you can look up the BIOS code. What that means is one short.
Well, the bottom line is
one long or three long beeps or something like that.
I don't tell people to buy new computers very often, but last week in the newspaper, in the little flyers that come out on Sunday, you could get a very significant, you know, a pretty significantly powerful little computer with a 19-inch widescreen monitor for $299.
Yep.
And if you can get a new computer with a 19-inch flat panel monitor for that little money, it just really does not pay to be using technology that's 12, 13 years old. And as you mentioned with Internet Explorer, you can't update Internet Explorer past version 6 on Windows 98. And the newer versions of Firefox don't work on Windows 98. And a lot of the technologies and the direction that the Internet is taking has far outpaced what Windows 98 can really understand and process. So unless you're going to use that machine as a non-internet machine and you just want to be able to do word processing and maybe some spreadsheets and things like that, the poor little computer has outlived its usefulness.
I would agree with you. The only thing I do use it for, my wife likes to bring in a internet radio station, and I have it set up, and it goes out there, and it does that extremely well.
And that's the thing. I mean, what's going to happen is we do as media gets further and further into the internet, and you are streaming radio and you're streaming TV shows, you're going to find that the technologies that are being used to do that are going to be outpacing that Windows 98. How often is this beeping happening? Is it happening continuously or?
No, it's sort of random. It takes two starts before it finally kicks in, and then it eventually boots.
Yeah. So
if it's going to do it, it does it immediately. And then it tells you a message to shut it off and then restart.
I think the only two things that you can do that without anybody looking at it, because I wouldn't spend any money having somebody look at this, but the only two things you can do that would be inexpensive that would be a way for you to kind of troubleshoot that is look at the power supply, make sure that it's not going bad on you, and you could buy a new power supply and put it in there. If that didn't fix it, you could take the power supply back and get your money back. So that's a no-cost possible solution. The other solution that might cost you a little bit of money is determine what kind of RAM that particular computer uses and then try to find some replacement chips, trade out the RAM chips because sometimes they can go bad and cause some of these issues. But those would be the two least invasive, least expensive, quickest things you could do to troubleshoot it. If neither one of those worked, I really don't think it's worth your time and effort of trying to troubleshoot further because it's going to get a lot more expensive after those two minor fixes.
And those two minor fixes add up to over $100 anyway. I mean,
if you have to pay for them, right?
That's true. That's true. Is there any type of program, a disk that I could put in that would analyze the RAM?
Yeah, there are. There's RAM Assist, and there's a couple different ones out there. But if you search for test RAM tester.
Yeah. The only problem is a lot of them might be run on like Adobe Air or some program like that. Well,
there's
no,
some
I guess
DOS
there's
ones.
Some small ones.
Yeah, there's some DOS versions. Yeah, I'd probably go to download.com and search for RAM tester.
RAM tester.
And
okay.
Then it can actually go through and do a pretty significant and thorough test of your RAM.
Okay.
All right?
All right. I appreciate the help.
Thanks. We appreciate the call. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. 241-8801, extension 1. That's how you can get on and ask us questions. And that is by far probably the least amount of advice or the least used advice I give is to buy a new computer because computers generally are pretty long lasting. And for most folks' use, they can use it for as long as the hardware holds out. But in that gentleman's case, I think his hardware has definitely outlived its usefulness. And software-wise, if he's using it on the internet, the Windows 98 just does not cut it anymore on the internet.
And I think we give that advice a little bit more often than we used to because computers have come down so far in price.
Exactly.
That when you have a catastrophic thing like that, it's just not worth repairing.
Very good point.
Hello, you're on KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. We're talking about technology. What can we do for you?
Oh, I have a computer question as
well. Cool.
My computer has just gotten slow, and it kind of started after my husband started using the computer. And I don't believe that's it, but maybe...
it is.
Yep.
That's it.
That's probably it. It really is. We're not joking with you there. It probably is, but go ahead.
Well, what I've started to do is, you know, as we, you know, go back and forth between his, you know, logging off and going to his part of the computer and mine, when I go back to mine and, you know, to wake it up, it builds like portions of the page. There'll be, you know, like the bottom band will come on and then it'll wait and there'll be a black blank area where maybe there's a pop-up from the Windows. I don't know. It just doesn't build right and then it's really slow. And I don't know. I have quite a few pictures on there, but, you know, I've done everything I know how to do.
Right off the bat, let's not even go into defragging or the amount of stuff you have stored on your computer. Those are the two least common causes of a slow computer.
Yeah, very rarely do those make any difference.
Yeah, rarely does that make any difference at all. So it's got to be something running in the background of your computer.
Okay.
So,
well, I have... I'm on the internet quite a bit.
Okay.
And I do have the McAfee kind of higher end.
That's one of the biggest culprits right there.
That's the first red flag right there is that those security suites, a lot of times they're so paranoid and so protective that they slow you down and it keeping you from
Is this Windows XP? Is this a Windows XP machine?
Yes.
And how old is the Windows XP? How long have you had the machine?
Maybe 5 years.
5 years. Do you happen to know, talking about RAM again, do you know happen to know how much RAM is on that computer?
Can you give me some instances?
Well, 1 gigabyte.
256 megabytes.
256 megabytes.
The 256, I think? Is that what you said, 200-something?
Yeah.
256. How old did you say it was?
5 years.
Okay, it's possible, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple things. This is a hard one to troubleshoot over the air, but if you go to helpmerick.com, that's our website.
Say it one more time. Help me.
Help me, Rick.
Okay.
And I don't spell Rick with a silent Q. It's just R-I-C-K. And you can search for MS Config. It stands for Microsoft Configuration Utility, but just MS Config. And you'll find a bunch of little tips, including some video tips on how to use this little utility that comes with Windows. And as Adam mentioned earlier, oftentimes slowness, the most common thing is there's too many things running in the background automatically at startup.
Okay.
And using the MS Config, you can go through, and some things you'll recognize, some things you won't, but you can uncheck the things that you know don't need to start up automatically, and that'll allow your computer to not only start faster, but run quicker as well. And there'll be some things you don't understand, but I provide some tools and some websites where you can look up the things that you don't understand, and it will tell you whether it's necessary, optional, or unnecessary for it to start up automatically. And then you can actually pare down some of those things. But number one, I would take McAfee off there immediately and instead use AVG Free, or Microsoft has a new product out called Microsoft Security Essentials. And those are two much cleaner, faster running products, but I also believe protect you better than the McAfees and the Nortons of the world.
Golly. Okay.
A lot of information there. I hope you're not driving.
Two things you need to write down and go to helpmerick.com, and that'll get you there. One is the MS Config.
Okay.
So write that one down, and that's what you want to search Help Me Rick for. The other one is Microsoft Security Essentials.
Okay.
And if you type those two things down, you're going to be led in the right direction for everything we've talked about.
Okay. Thank you for your time and your help. Sure. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. I'm trying to hook up to
Adam's.
Is it
not working?
Well, you know what I was trying to type in was the name of the...
The name of the network, yeah. The SSID, yeah.
Well, I saw a space
in I'm reviewing this cool little unit. This is what Rick's playing with, this cool little thing about the size of a credit card, stack of credit cards, but a credit card.
Very small.
That creates a Wi-Fi hotspot. It's called a MiFi 2200 is what it's called.
People probably can't hear us right now because we're creating...
Maybe not. Yeah. It's incredibly expensive to use, though.
What's the monthly charge on that?
$60 a month on Sprint or Verizon to use this guy. Ridiculous.
If you're traveling all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's probably okay.
I would say if you had to use this for the internet 75% of the time or even 60% of the time,
right,
it might be worth it. But if all you are is you just want to be able to have it while you're sitting in the back seat of your car or somebody else's car while you're driving down the road or something, or the occasional vacation or something like that, it just isn't worth it.
But now you said the speeds aren't that great on this.
Well, it varies. I think it varies depending on the network. This one's on Verizon, and so I'm only pulling about 0.5 on it, or 512, whatever it is.
I think 0.5 is good. That's comparing it to our 8.
That's comparing it to our 8, so it's moving about 0.5. But again, Verizon has a slower network than Sprint or AT&T, so it's possible that if you get it on Sprint or AT&T, you might pull it up over into 2 or so. So
interesting. But it's a neat technology, and I think that's where things are going more.
You know what's cool about the Palm Pre is you can download a little $14 program that turns the Palm Pre into a MiFi, whatever you want to call
it.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. Keep the phone calls coming. We love answering those questions. 241-8801, extension 1. Or you can Twitter us @TalkingDigital or @HelpMeRick. And again, we've given the website out a couple times. The website is helpmerick.com. We do this every month on the third Wednesday of the month from noon to one here on KFM Radio. We haven't got a Twitter yet. Have you got a Twitter?
No, I haven't got a Twitter yet.
I wonder where Mac Texan. He's now no longer the Windy Texan. I wonder if he I wonder if he changed to Mac Texan because called him the Windy Texan. He might be working today.
I was just reading here on the news that HBO is launching a Netflix rival.
Really?
I hate stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just hate it when there's a completely successful service that other companies could partner up with and really make that one service even stronger and make money for everybody. Mm-hmm. They decide to create their own little thing. All it does is fragment the market. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to do any part of it. The worst thing it's going to do is make the existing service that much less appealing.
Right.
So, I don't know. I still like Redbox. Between the two, Redbox, I think, is much more innovative than Netflix. I love Netflix. Mm-hmm. I use it constantly. But I don't mind leaving my house when I know I can get a brand new DVD or watch a DVD for a dollar.
Have you had any problems with the Redbox with bad DVDs?
Nope. Never.
It's been real good service.
Because it's very easy to flag that a DVD is bad. You just go into Netflix or into Redbox.com and flag that a DVD is bad, and they will actually block it on their machine so that DVD can't go back out again because they'll know the little serial number and all of that.
Now, there are people in the universe like myself who never go to McDonald's.
Right. It's Albertsons, McDonald's, and Walmart.
Right. And so I don't go to McDonald's or Walmart.
Okay.
So, and I only rarely
But you don't usually even have to go in.
Right.
You pull up.
Explain what Redbox is. It's a neat service.
Yeah, Redbox is basically a DVD vending machine where you use your credit card and it takes...
There's no membership fee, right?
No, nothing at all. Right. It's a dollar per day on the DVD. And if you keep the DVD for 20 days, say you're terrible at returning it, they just let you keep the DVD.
Because you've already been charged $20.
And they figure $20, yeah, where most movies are about 12 to 15, you know, then they've made their money back.
And if you're a moron on keeping it that long.
But here's the thing. Like when we were in Vegas, we rented a Redbox movie. Mm-hmm. We watched it. We returned it at home at the McDonald's.
So you don't have to return it at the same place.
Don't have to return it at the same place. Whatever. I mean, you could just keep it with you. And it's pretty amazing service. And it's really causing problems for Blockbuster in those places.
How expansive is their library?
Pretty much all of the new releases.
Okay.
And it's getting to the point where you can usually even find a new release on the day it comes out, which is difficult to do at a lot of rental places.
Mm-hmm.
But it usually goes back to about 2 years of the most popular movies.
So you think they have a few hundred movies in those boxes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. I imagine there's probably a couple hundred movies per box.
Because the box is about twice the size of a Coke machine, isn't it?
Yeah,
roughly.
Some of them are about the same size. And I think it varies per... There's some super machines out there now that...
Oh, there are different
that
sizes.
That have a totally separate rack just for the DVDs.
Wow.
And so there's a couple different ones. A lot of the McDonald's now are getting two separate machines. And the other thing, too, is you can check at home. You can see which locations have the movie in stock, and you can reserve it from your computer at home so that you know you don't have to say, oh, it's at McDonald's on North Avenue. We have to race down there right now and pick up the movie.
Right.
You can just click reserve the movie, and you can rent it right there and then get home or get to the box and just
punch in your number,
and it kicks out the DVD.
Very cool.
Slide your card. So
the thing that I'm still waiting for, and it's coming slowly, and maybe we'll go back to Google and their high speed. And I read an article just this morning in my Wired magazine that Adam, I still curse and praise him for turning me on to this.
Wait till you read
ago.
Fast Company. It's almost as cool. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know how I read that. But the big thing is still a la carte TV.
Yeah.
That is kind of the holy grail of television watching, is to not have to pay $50 a month for 200 channels of which you only watch 20
of them. We're getting very close to that, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's getting closer and closer as we have high-speed internet and the delivery of, like a lot of people now don't even subscribe to a service because you can get almost any program, probably any program that you want to watch from any of the networks through services like ninjavideo.net, Hulu,
TV.com.
And also the
individual networks.
The individual networks themselves. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to go out and then plus you can watch anytime you want.
Yeah. And if somebody is really a TV connoisseur and they really want to get into that and hate jumping from one place to another place, there's a service called Boxy, or a free open source program called Boxy that now D-Link,
that's
I
a two
E's. Yeah. D-Link is now putting that into a thing called a Boxy box. It's a little cube.
Cool.
And it's just has the Boxy software on it. But what that does is it goes out and pulls the video from CNET.com and YouTube and Hulu. And well, Hulu's not in there anymore, but most of them are in there to where where you can go to one place and see the interface, and you basically pick the website.
And you do that through your TV.
You do it through your TV.
Right.
So you just hook it up to your TV set and the internet. I mean, it's a little box that comes between the two. But it makes it extremely easy to just sit and watch web content without having to hook your computer up to the TV.
And as we move into that realm of being able to watch TV through via the internet, whether you watch it on your computer or use a service like you just described from D-Link, we are seeing that 256K DSL, that's the beginning level of DSL speeds, is really too slow to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
And we're slowly approaching to where even the 1.5 mm-hmm. is too slow to do those things.
Right.
So we definitely still in this country don't have, we rank like, I think in like 23rd in the world
yeah.
in terms of average high speed in the United States,
right.
which to me is just absolutely pathetic. We should at least be in the top 15, for goodness sake,
yeah.
but if not the top three. But as we get this video over the internet and audio, like some people might be listening right now on kfmradio.com, or .org, you can stream the radio station, which works really well, but you have to have that little bit of higher speed. And even the 8 that Adam described earlier here in the Grand Valley as being the fastest, unless you pay a little extra, I guess we do have a 15.
We do have a 15, and I have the 15, but even the Bresnan guys will the Bresnan guys will tell you that there's really no benefit to the 15, that it's very difficult to get that 15.
What do you average?
You know, it's hard to say.
12?
The thing
12?
Is, when you do the tests,
mm-hmm.
you hit 15.
Right.
You hit 12 or 15.
But here's a little secret, and I don't care if they're listening or not.
Yeah.
If you're a Bresnan customer
right.
and you call them and say you have a slow internet,
yes.
they're going to tell you to go to their speed test.
Right.
Their speed test is rigged.
Oh, I agree.
I'm not going to...
Yeah.
Because I can run four independent tests
yep.
against theirs. The four independent tests come out with the same number. The Bresnan test comes out with a number they advertise.
Much higher. I totally agree with you. Hello, you're on KFM with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Thanks. In speaking about this high-speed internet and all that,
yeah.
I live out like on East Orchard Mesa. We have a phone line,
mm-hmm.
and apparently Quest does not offer anything. And
nope.
What can we do to speed things up so that we can...
Do you have a pen and paper handy?
Because yeah.
we need to give you a name here.
Okay.
There's a really good service that just moved into the valley about 6 or 8 months ago, and they're providing a really nice service that I believe covers all of East Orchard Mesa or most of it. You got your pencil and paper?
Sure.
It's called Stellera, S-T-E-L-E-R-A.
Okay.
And Stellera has a kiosk out at the mall, and if you just look up, go to Stellera.com, you can find some phone numbers as well. I don't have their phone number handy. But it's a great service. It's very quick, and it's very affordable.
Terrific.
And extremely easy to set up as well.
That's easy.
All
That's
right.
good, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good luck. All right, we got another call here on KFM. Oh, we missed
it.
Oh,
nope.
Trying again. Hello, welcome to KFM Noontime with Rick and Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. My name's Joe. I
hey, Joe.
Started Wi-Fi West Network. And,
oh, Wi-Fi West.
Now I can get up to 10 megs on mine pretty
nice.
Easily.
Can you cover East Orchard Mesa?
Oh, yeah. That's
Beautiful.
My the outer areas are my best.
Now, you're Wi-Fi West.com, but is it Y-Fi?
Nope.
Just Wi-Fi West.com.
And on the website, it says up to 5 because we haven't updated it.
Uh-huh.
But in certain parts of town, it's ripping. There's a few areas around Sherwood Park where I can get about 19.
Nice.
Wow, that is
very
really cool.
nice. And that's in comparison to Adam saying earlier that 8 is kind of the standard for cable.
Yep. So and even that's not totally right. Cause
right.
That's just a burst, you know.
Yeah. See,
I mean,
that's
we've
what
had
I was
this conversation,
at.
Adam.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Well,
where
excellent.
They burst and make it look pretty, and it's really not.
And I'm sorry that I forgot about you there because Wi-Fi West. You've been in town a couple of years, haven't you?
Yeah, I started it out as a free network downtown with Harold.
Uh-huh.
He was at the DDA. And then one day when all the cable got cut on Patterson when they were doing the ditch, we
uh-huh.
turned it into a business venture.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So WifiWest.com.
Yep.
And if you don't mind, tell us what your price is per month.
It goes, I got a 20 for half a meg, but I don't do the bursting. I don't say it's going to be 3 megs. You get what I tell you you're going to get.
Okay.
And then a meg for $29.95, 3 meg for $39.95, and 5 for $44.95.
Excellent.
And the 3 and 5 are mainly around the hospital.
And you need to have, with your service, an antenna put up on the outside of your house, correct?
Yeah, in most cases.
Okay.
There's a few apartment complexes where you can just log on with your laptop, and then downtown you can take your laptop downtown and watch videos all day long.
Well, that's one thing I was curious about. You do have the monthly fee that includes, you know, you buy the service and all of that. Is there, if somebody just wants to pay the fee so that they can use your service as they're traveling around town, not necessarily at home, do you have a plan for that?
Yeah, totally. It's part of the gig.
Oh, okay.
It's all part of the thing. Because I have a few that just, like in my car, I'm sitting here watching YouTube right now, and I'm sitting about 5th and Orchard.
Right.
And it's just in my car, and it works pretty good.
Very cool. Excellent.
Yeah, and it's all a mesh network, so all the radios all have the same name, so when you travel around, you can pick whichever one's best.
That's very cool. Very cool. That's good to know.
I'm glad you called in and told us about that. I forgot.
Yep. Enjoy your day, you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, so there are more things out there than DSL and cable.
Right.
And the gentleman with Wi-Fi West, I forget his name.
I didn't.
Joe, either. I think is his name.
Maybe.
And we'll call him Joe.
Yeah.
But it's WifiWest.com and then Stellara.com. That is the direction. And then Adam has the MiFi today from Verizon. That's the direction.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't either. The speed on that is not good yet.
Well, it's not even that. It's the cost. It's just way too pricey.
Well, but again, the cost wouldn't be bad if the speed was good. Because
you think
so? Well, because you're talking almost Bresnan cost.
Well, you are.
If you think about it.
But see, Bresnan, I can sit in my house and spread it out to as many computers as I want.
Right.
And it, yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends.
It's close.
They limit you on a 5 gigabyte.
Well, exactly. That's the other thing is the download speeds. Looks like, do we have another call?
Nope. No,
they disappeared. So. All right. 241-8801, extension 1. Good conversation today on high speed.
Hello, you're on KFM with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
Yeah, you were just talking about the different wireless internet services.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about Keon?
I have not been impressed, I have to tell you. I'm going to let Adam talk in a minute, but the Keon has been kind of a disappointment to me. They were one of the first wireless folks in the Valley, and I've seen that they don't offer a very quick speed, but they offered at a very premium price, and that's what I've been disappointed with. The download speed is fairly anemic. The upload speed is very anemic, and the price per month is too high.
Yeah, the other thing, too, that I've had with them, even, you know, say it's the only thing available, I think that, you know, you can go with it. The problem I have is I don't think that if I have problems with my service, and this could have changed. Let me preface that by saying any of this could have changed.
I haven't seen it in the last three or four months.
It's been longer than that since I've seen somebody. But my experience with Keon, in more than one case, I've had to call and leave a message and wait for them to call me back, which I just think that's kind of ridiculous for a major internet service to not have somebody on standby right there when you call.
Right.
Well, and here's the other thing, I think, with Keon and the Wi-Fi West, we talked with, we're going to call him Joe, and if it's not Joe, Twitter me and tell me your name for sure. But with both those services, you do have to have a little bit higher startup costs because they do have to hang a microwave antenna on your house or somewhere near your house.
I've had Keon for going on a couple of years now.
Right. With the Stellara, they have a small little modem that's no bigger than maybe 2 decks of cards put together. You plug it into your power outlet because it needs power, and you're instantly on the internet. There's no external antennas. It's an automatic wireless connection. It creates a secured wireless network, or you can hook it up to a router or an Ethernet port.
And it comes with a little USB thing that you just pull right out of the router.
On the new ones, right? Yeah,
Right out of the router. It does disable your internet at home, but you pull it right out of the router, plug it into your laptop, and take it with you. And it'll work anywhere in town.
Yeah, so that's the big thing I like about them is that their speeds are fast, they have really good service, and that the setup is so low cost and so easy.
Right. And the Wi-Fi West, really, they have kind of the same advantage, though, because they're just using Wi-Fi technology. So you can actually do that without hooking anything into your laptop. You just see the antenna signal.
Well, like you mentioned, though, if you have a strong enough signal where you are.
Well, no, I'm saying if you're traveling.
Oh,
if you're
in a coffee shop or a
McDonald's or something and you see a Wi-Fi West signal, you can connect right up to that without any special equipment.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'd be...
So how have you liked Keon?
I've just got a desktop and you know, that's all I'm using it on right now.
And how, what kind of speeds are you getting with Keon? Are you enjoying it? Is it providing a good service for you?
Well, when I first hooked up, it was like you said, the speeds were really lame. You know, the upload was like, you know,
128 or something.
128K or something like that.
Exactly.
And, you know, and the download was 14, you know, was 1.4 meg or something like that. And they upped it and at the same price. So I've got a little bit higher now. I don't know exactly how high, but it's been pretty consistent. I've only had a couple of instances a couple of months ago where it was down for an hour or two. Otherwise, I've had pretty consistent service. But
good.
But I don't have a very fast computer either, so you know, it hasn't inhibited me at this point. But if I can get a better value for a better price, I mean, you know, and
well, investigate Wi-Fi West and investigate Stellara, because there. Do you live in an area of town where you can't get DSL?
Well, not really. I'm on Orchard Mesa, but lower Orchard Mesa, like B and a half and 29 Road.
I think as we start talking about high-speed internet, the other thing that I do talk about with people is I become a little bit of a financial manager, because you need to look at all of your telecommunications prices. If you, your TV, your cell phone, your home phone, if you still have a landline at the house, your internet, am I missing anything, Adam? And long distance, those four or five things. Because depending on how, if you add up all those things together and see how much you pay per month, you might want to be sitting down when you do that. But add those up and see what those are costing you. And the only thing that's kind of nice for, depending on how you, what your costs are now, for some people, bundling your telecommunications with Bresnan or with Quest can save you quite a bit of money per month.
Right.
But the only problem with bundling is they usually make you sign up for a year or make you sign up for 2 years.
Yes, yes, right. Well, and we're not doing TV or landline at this point.
So,
you know,
so in your case, bundling wouldn't make sense.
Right, right.
So
I'm just looking for the, you know, the best value and best price internet service at this point. And
we'll definitely do some comparison shopping, because now we have some competition in the air with wireless, and they're all good services. And like I said, the Wi-Fi West, I've seen that a few times. They've got great speed. And you saw the gentleman that just called in a few minutes ago. He is out there, and he wants to make sure his service is good. And I've met the folks at Stellara, and they're equally as good.
Great.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. 241-8801, extension 1. People want high speed.
They do, and they deserve it, I think.
I think so, too.
It's time.
241-8801, extension 1, or you can Twitter us, at HelpMeRick, or at Talking Digital, and we'll answer your questions through that as well. Did you get a question yet on Talking Digital?
I didn't.
Yeah,
I have no tweets.
No new tweets. No tweets today.
That's okay.
There's no Twitterers out there today.
That's okay. Do you want to talk about cell phones for a minute? We haven't talked about cell phones at all.
Sure.
Unless you have something else to talk about.
No.
I just was looking. This is the Mobile World Congress.
I did see
going on this week.
A tweet yesterday, as a matter
yeah.
of fact, that Google has announced that they're shipping 60,000
yes.
Android phones
yes.
a day.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah, Google, and that's all Android. That's across the platform.
Okay, it wasn't just the Nexus One.
It could be
I'm
just,
not sure.
Oh no, that's right. It would be just the Nexus.
I don't know.
That's
not,
far
I,
more than that once you get the Droid and the Droid Aris and all of those in there. So yeah, you're right. It would just be the Android. Oh, somebody doesn't want us to talk about cell phones.
That's
so
okay.
Call it
that's,
in. Let's go.
We'll answer.
Hello, you're on Public Affairs on KAFM with Rick and Adam talking about technology. What can we do for you?
And high speed internet.
Yeah, and high speed internet.
Okay. Well, I've got. I'm going to be leaving town very soon, and I want to be able to access my email.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've yet to figure out how to do it.
What's the part of your email address after the at? So you're whatever at something something. What is your email address?
Oh, Gmail.
Oh, well, how are you accessing your Gmail now?
Well, it's kind of it's a little convoluted. I'm going through Outlook.
Oh, okay.
In addition to Gmail, and
okay.
I don't know how that even happened.
Oh no, that's not a bad way to set it up. I mean, you can certainly do it that way.
And certainly people that transition into the world of Gmail, they're used to using Outlook, so whoever helped you probably helped set up your Outlook to retrieve your Gmail. But now are you talking about on the road you don't know how to connect to the internet, or you don't know how to connect to Gmail?
Well, I don't know how to connect to get into my email.
So do you not know your Gmail password?
You know, that's a good question.
Because
I've tried a variety of things, and I'm looking around to try to see if...
See, now that's the critical thing. And I'll tell you, I make more money in this valley because people don't know their passwords. I mean, I might be actually quite a bit less busy if people knew their passwords, because I'll go into someone's home or office and I'll say, okay, I need to, you know, we need your password to get in and do such and such. And they'll look at me with a blank face
and say, I don't have a
password. And then it takes another half hour, 45 minutes to figure out A, what it is, or B, retrieve it. And it is by far the most critical piece of information in this technology world, not only to remember so you can access it. I'm going to get a little soapbox here for a minute, but it also is for security. People are worried about identity theft and getting their bank accounts broke into and things like that.
Yeah.
And that's because of poor passwords. So A, you have to have a really good password, but the biggest thing right close to B, the close B to that A, is you have to remember that password. And people say, well, how do I remember it? And I say, well, there's an old-fashioned thing called pencil and paper. Write the damn thing down. Excuse my French. And then remember where you put it. But anyway, so for you, there's no way you can access it on the road until you get that password.
Okay, well, let's say I find the password.
Okay, if you find the password, you can do two things on the road. Do you carry a laptop when you're traveling?
I'm not going to on this trip.
Okay.
I'll be using public computers.
Perfect. So you'll have to go into libraries or kiosks in a coffee shop or something like that.
Right.
So all you would do is pull up the internet, go to gmail.com.
All right.
You type in your Gmail address in the username, and then you'll type in your password, and you're into your Gmail.
Okay.
Well, that's all you do.
That's where the issue is, that I'm not using the right password.
Exactly. And so there is a password retrieval utility with Gmail, but they make it tough so they can try to protect you. When you set up your Gmail, you should have had a secret, you would have had a secret question that they asked you. They'll ask you to fill out, what is your teacher's first name, or what was your first phone number, or what your library card number. Those are some of the standard secret questions that you had to answer. And so if you go into Gmail, and where it tells you to put in your password, right below that, it says, I don't know my password, or I forgot my password. And then it's going to take you into a next stage, and it's going to ask you, here's your secret question, what's the answer? If you know what the answer is, then they will get you into a screen where you can reset your password. But you have to know what the answer to the secret question is, because that's the next thing that people forget, is they'll come up and they'll say, what was my first teacher's name? And so they'll put in about six or eight different names. None of them were correct.
So that secret question will be the question that I originally used?
Yes, it will be. And so if you remember the answer to your original question, then you'll be able to get in and reset that password.
Okay.
Okay, so when you log in, go on to your internet today and go into gmail.com, put in your username, but then don't put in a password. Go right below it and say, I forgot my password.
You know, I've done that, and it's, I couldn't get anywhere to where, well, maybe I'm putting in the wrong, or I'm not answering the question properly. I don't know.
Exactly, yeah. So you got to kind of look at that. And the thing is, like any of the free services, they do not offer any phone support. And so it's up to us as the user to be diligent about keeping track of those things.
Right, okay.
All right.
I will fumble through and see if I can make it happen.
All right, good. Oh, the one other thing, since you're using Outlook, you do have a little bit of a chance of retrieving that password, because there are tools available. Don't search for this on the internet, because you will put more junk on your computer and spyware than you can shake a stick at. But I'm going to put this out there. If you bring your computer to a technology person, there is some tools that are legitimate tools that they can try to get in through the back door of your Outlook and look at the password. And you know what? You're going to do one of those, oh, I could have had a V8 moments, because once you see it, you're going to say, oh, why didn't I think of that? And that's because everyone says, oh, I'm going to remember my password. I'll remember it. And then when it comes time to remember it, they don't. But when you see it, you say, oh, I should have known that.
Yeah.
So that's the one little bailout that you may have, is that if you bring that computer or have someone come to your home or office, you might be able to retrieve that password via your Outlook.
And you're saying back door of Outlook?
Yeah, well, it's a little tool. It's when some people forget their passwords, if they're using Outlook or Outlook Express, I can sometimes go back and look at through this little tool that lets me reveal the password of the Outlook.
Okay. So that the password in Outlook should be the same one that I'm using.
Again, without knowing exactly how they set it up for you, yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well,
all right.
I appreciate your help.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hate to get on that soapbox about passwords, but gosh darn, that's important.
Hello, you're on KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. We're talking about technology. What can we do for you?
Yes, I hope you'll be able to take my call. I called in earlier about that Windows 98 machine. I got another question.
Okay, go for it.
I've got an older program. It's a digital photographic imaging program.
What's the name of it?
It's ACDSEE.
Yeah, ACDC.
Yep.
Yes. Very good one.
Okay, it's an older one. The max limit on the system requirement is Windows 2000 and NT4.
Yeah, you know what? You probably won't need that piece of software, though, once you get... I mean, you can use it. It might run. It might not.
You might have to get a new version.
There is a new version of AC/DC, but there's also a program that's free called Picasa. And it's PICASA.
And we both used AC/DC.
Yeah,
we
loved AC/DC, but we both also switched to Picasa because it's so much easier and does so much more.
If I wanted to install this on an XP machine, would it still install?
I don't know that for sure.
It depends on the version. I don't know how old yours is. There, you can try it, and it's not going to hurt to try it.
It won't hurt it. Okay.
Yeah. And if it just doesn't run, download Picasa. Chances are, if you download Picasa, you're going to love it.
And Picasa is free.
Much more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal.
You bet.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, AC/DC has a great program, and
it was
in the Windows 98 days. You needed that kind of a program.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, even with XP and Vista and now Windows 7, the tools that Windows provides is not bad.
Yeah.
But certainly if you get used to Picasa.
Picasa makes it easy to print multiple pages or multiple pictures on one page. Picasa even geotags your pictures. So if you have a cell phone or something with geotagging, you can see where it's at. And the new face recognition in Picasa is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on there. So Picasa is a great program. If you have a digital camera, it's
fantastic. Turn Annie Anthology Annie into a scrapbook. Or not a scrapbook, a collage queen.
That's right.
She loves making those collages.
There you go. Picasa is incredible.
All right. 241-8801 extension 1. We do have a few more minutes for some more phone calls. Wow, it's been a phone call packed hour.
It's been
great. Love
that.
It's love that.
What we prefer.
So feel free to keep calling if you have some other questions. And you can also Twitter us at HelpMeRick or at TalkingDigital. The website is HelpMeRick.com. Now, we were talking about
cell phones.
Right.
I was just going to bring up...
Yeah, we're talking about Android. Now, Android is...
Android is Google's cell phone program, operating system that makes it all work.
Yeah, because you need something in the phone, almost any phone. Even the most basic phones need something to make it work.
Yeah, and I guess what we're talking about is that... When you go get a cell phone, you'll notice a lot of people say, I just want one that makes phone calls.
Right.
And for those people, there's a handful of those out there. Jitterbug. There's several good phones out there. But for people who want to be able to read their email, take pictures, be able to do things like Twitter or
play Facebook, play music,
any of that stuff on their phones, then we get into a new category of phones called smartphones, which, again, I think someday are just going to be phones.
Right.
They're just all going to be that. But that's where the iPhone comes in. You'll hear the word iPhone quite a bit if you don't have one. The Android is Google's version of the iPhone.
It just came out last year.
I'm doing air quotes when I say that. But it just came out last year or maybe a little bit. I think they've been testing a little bit longer than that. Last year is when it really came out. And this year is the year of Android. I mean, I can't believe how many cool Android phones have been announced.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Windows is coming out with their newest version.
I haven't looked at it yet.
Windows has always been a lemon. I've always hated Windows. In fact, my daughter and I were looking at smartphones the other day at the Sprint store.
Mm-hmm.
And we were comparing them, and I showed her a Windows one. And she says, those Windows phones are too hard, and just puts it back. But the new Windows operating system is very cool. It actually looks like, I mean, the interface is different, but it actually looks like it runs on a system similar to Agendas. So in other words, Agendas is a cell phone operator, a cell phone program that makes it so your contacts, your calendar, your email, and everything is all
integrated.
Under one integrated thing. So you can make an appointment with a contact from your cell phone just by going into contacts, picking the contact, and say, make an appointment with this person.
So they've kind of
very, very cool.
Outlookized it.
Very data centric. Yeah, very data centric. And so the
and much easier navigation from what you're
saying? Much easier navigation. It actually works as one big panorama.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going from one screen to another screen, if you find a page or find something you want, you just slide through it and it just slides right to left rather than top to bottom like the iPhone would. But it has some very cool features.
I'm
very excited about it. I just hope the developers get behind it because I think.
Is it too little too late though?
I don't know. It's hard to tell because it's so different from what the iPhone and what Android are doing that it may be just enough to hold in there. And
when is it supposed to be released, though? That's the other thing. Not until later this year,
Yeah, not until later this year.
See, and that's what I'm saying. I just don't know if it's...
But still, Android, I don't think Android's going to peak till the end of this year.
Right. But it's got the momentum.
Oh, it's crazy how cool it is. I mean, it's Samsung. I don't know if you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Samsung announced an Android phone that has an 8-megapixel camera, and it has a projector built into it.
Not the little extra add-on, though. It's built in.
No, it's built in. It's a Pico projector built into it, yeah. And so there's some cool stuff coming out. It also runs a super AMOLED screen that it's just incredible. It's like HD TV, high-end HD TV
on
your cell phone. Yep.
Jeez. All right, let's do one last call, Adam.
Hi, you're on KFM Public Affairs with Rick and Adam. What can we do for you?
I have a CRT monitor that's dimming and going out.
Oh.
I was down at the store looking at a replacement, and they're all now flat screen.
Yep.
There was a brand called LG.
Yep.
Along with, you know, Dells and stuff.
Sure.
Is LG a good one?
Yeah, very good.
LG is very decent. The thing is, LG up until three or four years ago, maybe more than that, LG was an OEM company. In other words, you probably have had LG devices before. You just never knew it because they had somebody else's name on it, Philips or something like that. But what LG did 4 years ago or so is they decided to come out and become their own brand.
Oh.
And so LG has been around forever. And if you were to go to, where is LG from? Are they Korean?
Probably.
I can't remember. I want to say they're Korean. They may be something else. But wherever they're from, they are like the GE of Korea or wherever they're from.
Oh, well, the sales clerk told me that he thought that was excellent.
Yeah, they're very good. I have an LG refrigerator in my house. I have an LG washing machine, and I have an LG monitor. So we're happy with all of them.
The other brand name is Samsung. Samsung, yep. I think, is some of the better monitors for some of the best prices.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Samsung actually makes Dell's monitors and Sony's monitors. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they actually make a lot of the higher-end monitors out there.
Okay, he did say that Samsung was real good, too. I just never heard of LG.
I don't know. I think one thing with monitors today, too, is...
Kind of like BenQ. Remember BenQ came out, and now we don't see him again.
Yep. One thing about monitors is don't expect your newest monitor to last as long as your old. It's nice if it does. But because monitors have come down so far, you probably paid $200 or $300 for your original monitor, and now they're getting down to the $129 price tag, or you know, just depends on what you're looking for. But they've become a little bit more disposable than they used to be. I would still expect to get 5 years out of it, but don't expect it to last as long as those old CRT monitors did, to where they're lasting 20 years.
Oh, okay.
Even if you spend $500 or $600,
yeah,
and I don't recommend paying that much.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. The old CRT monitor, what do you do with those?
If they're still doing it, I know that there's several places in town, but if they're still doing it, Best Buy was giving you a $10 gift card if you paid them $10 to take your monitor.
Oh.
Whether they're still doing that or not, you might want to call them.
Or if you buy a monitor from them, you can just take your old monitor to them.
A lot of times that's the case.
They'll just take it and recycle it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that's actually where I was looking.
And then the county landfill will buy it back from you for 42 cents a pound or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to pay 42 cents.
Right.
To recycle it.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite things to do is what I call curbside recycling. If you live in a part of town where there's a fair amount of traffic near your house, put it out there on the curb. And within a day or two, it's going to be gone. Somebody's going to pick it up and take it.
Oh, okay.
It works.
All right. Well, thank you for that information.
Well, you're very welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I think we're almost out of time.
Yep.
Up our cell phone talk, if you're not familiar with a smartphone, or if you think you could never use like an iPhone or the Android phone or things like that, or the BlackBerry is another smartphone, you'd be surprised how much you will use it, even if you use it for some basic things like email, just to kind of get you into it. Having your access to some of your data or a lot of your data, depending on how often you use it, is an incredibly freeing and empowering
The time you're lost and realize that you have a GPS on your phone and you can just get right out of wherever you are, find your way to wherever you're going. There's a lot of things like that. The first time you're in a weird city and you want to know where the nearest pizza place is. I mean, that's really what phones do for you now.
You don't have to call information anymore. No. If you have and you can get better information by using your smartphone.
Absolutely.
It's an incredible,
very cool stuff.
Incredibly liberating and empowering thing to do.
I think this year will be the year of the smartphone. I think this is where we see everybody's going to step up their game, and we're going to see a whole lot of good devices out there, and they're going to be cheap.
And the iPhone is going to look pretty pathetic unless they do something to it soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because these new things are surpassing it fairly quickly, even though the iPhone can still do a lot of neat things. But I'm just seeing there's so many other things that other companies are coming out with that are going to surpass it. But I got a feeling Apple, they're going to come out. Don't you think they'll come out sometime this year with another?
Oh, I think so. The next
another evolution
iPhone
of it.
4, I think, will be pretty fancy, but it's hard to tell what they'll do with it.
That's crazy. All right. Well, we are, Adam, you got something queued up here? We'll get some.
Oh, yes, I do, actually.
We are at, if you want to follow us on Twitter, Adam is at Talking Digital, and I am at Help Me Rick. And, of course, you can go to helpmerick.com, and we'll be back again next month on the third Wednesday of the month between noon and 1 here on KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. Thanks for listening, and thanks for all the great calls today. It was a great, great busy show. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Solo contigo, solo soy feliz si yo te miro. Basta tu aliento para que me sienta como el viento. Solo contigo, solo soy feliz si yo te miro. Basta tu aliento para que me sienta como el viento. Como el viento, como el viento, como el viento de mi cuerpo, como el viento, como el viento, como el viento mece mi cuerpo. Esta mañanita te has vestido de felicidad, como todos los días desde que te siempre aguantando a los que te quieren pisar. Solo contigo, solo soy feliz si yo te miro.